800-527-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Because America's under attack today. The traitors are working in New York. They're working in Washington, D.C. They have no respect for America. Their goal is a world government. You need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or watch the DVD. You need to certainly see our new DVD on the planned police state and get the syllabus and, of course, the forbidden secret and the syllabus.
More than 700 chemicals have been found in our drinking water. And did you know that you can have greater exposure to these chemicals by taking hot showers than when you drink the water? That's because many chemicals are inhaled when they evaporate, and others are absorbed through the skin. The KDF shower filter is designed to reduce chlorine, lead, mercury, and iron, and it inhibits the growth of bacteria, mold, algae, and fungus in your shower. The media is non-toxic, environmentally sound, and is recyclable. The KDF shower filter will typically last 10,000 gallons or 1 year, whichever comes first. Hospitals, restaurants, and water treatment facilities use this media to reduce chlorine, iron, heavy metals, and bacteria.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. We need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, and supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views and, well, of course, are going to be, hopefully, the views of Ted Gunderson, although his line is busy right now. Oh, I hope he'll be on the line before long. But if you'd like to give us a call in the meantime, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. For liberty. Well, let's talk a little bit about what's happening over in the Middle East, because, of course, all the information we're getting from people I think are reliable is the fact that it's only a matter of time before the United States, under one guise or another, attacks Iran. Those of you, of course, heard General Petraeus' testimony. He was seeing how Iran is providing all these weapons to the Shiite militias that are killing American boys. Iran is killing American boys. And of course, if you read the editorial there in the Wall Street Journal just a few days ago, it was fascinating as you read it, as they were actually doing everything they can to prepare the American people for the coming war with Iran. Read between the lines, ladies and gentlemen. Never read an article. When you see an article, ask yourself, what are they trying to convince me of? Why is this article written in the way that it is? And you'll very often find, once you begin doing that, you can begin to understand the mind control techniques that are being used. And of course, right now, everything points to the fact that they intend to take us into a war with Iran. Why? Well, basically because we're having terrible financial problems here at home. And, of course, we are going to probably end up losing or destroying our economy and our currency and impoverishing our people, but we'll be able to blame it on that wicked Ahmadinejad. It's his fault. No, ladies and gentlemen, it's not his fault. It was the American CIA that brought the mullahs to power back in 1979. And, of course, the cruel and ruthless Revolutionary Guard, Iranian Revolutionary Guard, is simply the CIA-trained secret police of the Shah. It's just a generation later. Nothing as it appears to be. Well, right now, fortunately, we have our good friend Ted Gunderson on the line. Hi, Ted. How
are
you doing?
Oh, hey, Dr. Stan. How are you, sir?
I'm doing just fine. Thank you.
You know, you're fantastic. You tell it just like it is, and I love it.
Well, fortunately, we have a voice, and we're going to have it as long as God gives it to us, and I don't take much credit for what we have. We have, you know, on our evening program, there are almost 12 stations, with a shortwave and internet, and what a wonderful opportunity to talk to people throughout the world, because we got a fair number of stations here. But I asked Ted to come on to talk to us about the strange death of Sonny Bono. Now, of course, there's a recent article in Globe magazine on this. The fundamental work was done by Bob Fletcher, but Ted knows about a lot of this, and he can tell the story a lot better. Sonny Bono, you remember Sonny and Cher, and then Sonny Bono became a mayor of a city and eventually a congressman, and he was a pretty good conservative, God-fearing congressman, and of course, when he was told about some of the corruption going on in Washington, D.C., he said as soon as he got back from the skiing trip, he was going to call a special committee and use the subpoena power to get to the bottom of the corruption in government, but he never got back from his skiing trip. You pick up the story, Ted.
Well, Bob Fletcher deserves an awful lot of credit for this, Dr. Stan. Let me just mention, first of all, that he was in contact with one of Sonny Bono's administrative assistants and directly in Washington, D.C., and he told him about the large-scale drug operation that went up high, high into our government, way up to the very top of our government. Some of the household names were actually part of this drug operation and have been. And Bob did a video called The Drugs and the CIA, which is available through his site.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon is Ted Gunderson, and Ted, of course, had been in charge of the Los Angeles office of the FBI for some years. And how many years were you with the FBI, Ted?
27 years and 3 months.
All right, fine. And, of course, when he retired, he had a large, large staff there. He went out and opened up his own office, private investigations, and he's been involved in some of the most exciting investigations of our time, the true story of the Green Beret captain who's been sent to jail some 25, 27 years ago, Jeff McDonald, Captain McDonald, for a crime he didn't commit. And, of course, this is all a cover-up for a satanic coven working at the highest levels of our society. They cannot, of course, let the American people know about these satanic covens, and that's why Jeffrey McDonald is still in prison, and we can get into that some other time. But right now, Ted is going to talk to us about the strange death of Sonny Bono. And, of course, I've been in touch with Bob Fletcher, who did the fundamental work on this. And Bob Fletcher is a good friend of both of ours, both Ted's and mine, had been doing a study on the involvement of the drugs and the Central Intelligence Agencies and of course, the drug network that went right up to the various highest levels of our government. And, of course, he had given the information to Sonny Bono's, some of the people on his staff. And will you pick up the story there, Ted?
Well, video that he sent to Sonny Bono's administrative assistant and that was reviewed by Sonny. And as a result, Sonny said when he gets back from this skiing trip and from his vacation in 1998 it was, because he was killed January 5th, 1998, he said he was going to issue subpoenas and he was going to expose these people. And the very video that Bob Fletcher sent to him is available through Bob Fletcher's website.
Do you recall what the name of that is?
Well, you know, he doesn't have a website, but I've got a P.O. box for him.
All right, fine. But actually, we carry most of his DVDs, but do you actually know the title of that one?
It's this CIA and Drugs.
CIA and Drugs. Well, we'll have to check. If we don't have it, why, we will, and of course, he can order it to us. And we carry Bob's other DVDs, the one on unidentified foreign flying objects, his UFO tape, excellent material. He has another one that on the Kennedy assassination, and certainly another one on weather modification. Excellent material. I'm sure we probably carry his one on the CIA and drugs. But anyway, this has been given to Sonny Bono's administrative assistant. Sonny knew about it. He was going to do something as soon as he came back from the skiing trip. But, of course, he never came back from the skiing trip. We'll be right back. This is Dr. Stan, Ted Gunderson. Pick up the story there, Ted.
Well, and of course, what happened, he supposedly, allegedly, was skiing through the woods, and it was at the Heavenly Ski Resort in Nevada, and on January the 5th, 1998, he supposedly ran into a tree. That's the official version. But Bob Fletcher because it was 10 days after Bob furnished Sonny this video of CIA and drugs. It was 10 days after that that he died. So Bob was very, very suspicious, and Bob began a 10-year investigation. And, of course, the first thing you do on an investigation is get a copy of the autopsy report. And Bob had a difficult time getting a hold of the autopsy report. The officials would not give it to him. He finally obtained the report through a private investigator that Sonny Bono's mother had hired to look into the case. And I don't know the name of that private investigator. But anyway, Bob had this autopsy report. And he basically determined that Sonny was not killed by crashing into a tree at the Heavenly Ski Resort in Nevada. And he was savagely clubbed to death by professional hitmen. The killers were working for international drugs and arms dealers whose sinister ties with U.S. government officials were about to be exposed by Bono. And the savage murder was covered up by making it look like an accident. Now, a few moments ago you mentioned the McDonald case. I really believe this ties into the McDonald case, and that case has been going on since 1970. His family was murdered February 17, 1970. And just very briefly, let me mention, I obtained a signed confession from a girl named Alina Stokely, who was a member of the Satanic Cult. And Alina told me that her cult was involved in distributing drugs being flown in from Southeast Asia in military planes in the plastic bags, the body cavities of the dead GIs. And she said that if she was given immunity, she would name all these people. And unfortunately, of course, she died also suspiciously. But she said there were generals involved, there were military personnel, there were police officers, two attorneys in Fayetteville, North Carolina. So I have reason to believe that Sonny Bono was going to, who had the clout as a congressman, was going to get to the bottom of this, and it probably would have exposed not only the information about the McDonald case, which has been covered up now for like 30-some years, but also at that same time, Dr. Stan, there was a covert CIA government operation going on at the Cabazon Indian Reservation, which is right outside of Palm Springs, California. And our government was involved in training the guerrillas in Central and South America, and they were also involved there. And this information has come out publicly, by the way. And Danny Castellaro, a reporter and also a journalist, was writing a book about this, and of course he ended up being murdered. They said he committed suicide, but he did not, absolutely no question about it, in a hotel room in West Virginia. Now, in the meantime, there's another man that's taken up the torch as far as the book is concerned. His name is Seville, and he is he's smart. He's not living in the United States. He's living in the Southeast Asia, and he's gotten away from these people, hopefully. Going back to the Sonny Bono case, the official version of his death, of course, is ridiculous. It's nonsense for anyone who knows to now try to suggest that Bono died after crashing into a tree. There's zero evidence in the autopsy report or any other official document to show that an accident did occur. Instead, there's powerful proof that he was actually assassinated. Now, this, in my opinion, was an evil plot that was carried out to almost perfection by ruthless assassins, and this new investigation by Bono, by Bob Fletcher, into Bono's tragic death, and his body must be exhumed for more clues of the murder. Now, the problem with exhuming the body now is that the only person that can get permission to exhume the body is a relative, and his wife, Mary, who initially said that he died from some drugs. You see, she said that he likely from popping prescription painkillers, but the results of the toxicology report later ruled out that possibility, say the expert to examine it. And it shows that the famous politician had no booze or illegal drugs in his system and had taken a therapeutic dose of
Advil or something like that?
Yeah, prescription drug for anti-anxiety.
Okay,
prescription
fine.
Drugs. And So we have to have one of the relatives, and I don't know if Mary would be willing to do that or not. She's since remarried another congressman, I understand. But we also have Cher. So Cher is a possibility. And also, Sonny and Cher had a daughter who lives in the Los Angeles area. So there's a possibility if somebody will step forward. Of course, the mother, Sonny Bono's mother, passed away, and she said all along that he was murdered, and she had hired this investigator to look into it. Bob Fletcher obtained, as I said a few moments ago, many of the clues and the autopsy from this private investigator.
Well, Chris, the question is, why couldn't the family get a copy of the autopsy report? Or, Danny, you'd think that the family could get it if they wanted it, or was there an effort to cover up the truth?
Well, I guess the grandmother, the mother of Sonny Bono, the grandmother of the child, of their child here in Los Angeles, Sonny Bono's mother is the one that initially had the report, and the investigator, she was working with the investigator at the time that she had passed on. She apparently died from natural causes. I don't know the details of that. But the case really must be reopened immediately and be treated as a homicide investigation. There's absolutely no question in my mind. And in every case like this, you have to look at the jaundiced eyes until the crime is ruled out as a possibility. And the new evidence that points to murder was gathered, as I said, by Fletcher. Bob Fletcher is now 66 years of age, and he spent a whole decade working this case. Bob, by the way, produces videos and DVDs and so forth. So
I know,
you need to go through your office, Dr. Stan, and get this Drugs and the CIA DVD. I think it'd be worth the effort of anybody listening to this program.
Well, we actually have carried a number of those that have been put out by Bob Fletcher just because he's doing such a great job of producing the DVDs and getting the information that you need to hear out. So, and certainly every one of them we've watched, and we think they're all outstanding. I might disagree with them a little bit on what UFOs are, but that, of course, is my Christian perspective. I mean, I believe that they're demonic manifestations. He thinks they're aliens, but you've never seen so many pictures and so much documentation of the reality of the UFOs. There's no question they're there. The only question is, why, of course, what are they? Well, certainly, as far as Sonny Bono is concerned, what about this article in Globe magazine?
Well, this article appeared in Globe magazine about a week ago. It's off the stands now, and it is available on the Internet. It's the April 14, 2008 issue. And the cover has Patrick Swayze, No Hope, Experimental Treatment Failed, and so forth. I guess Patrick's Mr. Swayze is in the process of had cancer and so forth. But it's that particular issue. But it is the article is available on the Internet. And he died, of course, they said, of head and brain injuries caused by hitting a pine tree. They said at approximately 30 miles an hour while skiing off the trail. And meanwhile, details of Bono's catastrophic injuries have never been disclosed, and to this day, Douglas County officials have refused to make the autopsy report public. But as I said, Bob was able to get it through the grandmother, through the investigator working with the mother, actually. But Fletcher obtained a copy of the sealed autopsy report as well as other documents linked to the death. And one of the files stating that after Mary reported him missing at 4:30 p.m. that day, a ski patrol found Bono's bloodied body at 7:45 that night. Now, I understand from talking to Bob, this is not in the article, that should have been treated as a crime scene. It wasn't. I guess there were a number of people that appeared at the scene. And so, of course, there was the only evidence they really have is in Bono's body and, of course, on the tree. And the report describes Bono with traumatic facial injuries and lying on his right side with his right arm wrapped around the tree and his skis were still attached to his boots. But Bob Fletcher says a skier crashing into a tree would be knocked back. And meanwhile, this five-page autopsy report has determined the death was from craniocerebral injury. You're the doctor, you would know better how to pronounce that. Due to a blunt force trauma, a skiing accident. And other details of the injuries in the document included a black eye, swollen lips, bloody nose, bruised jaw, and two upper teeth knocked out, all on the right side of his head. But the pathologist also noted a series of small fractures and a central depressed region on the right side of Bono's skull and found some of the fractured bone pieces had been had a curved configuration. And Fletcher consulted a panel of experts and performed a recreation to determine how these wounds were caused. He concludes, the depressed area was due to blows from a round-edged weapon wielded by a man taller than the 5'9", 165-pound politician, and the killer was left-handed because of the wounds on the right side of Bono's face and head. He also believes that there was a second man who held Bono from behind. Now, Fletcher thinks that the murder weapon was a pistol, but other experts tell Globe that the gun barrel would have left distinguishable marks. Now, basically, the evidence concludes, I think, that Sonny was ambushed and viciously battered to death with a billy club or a similar weapon. As a matter of fact, I heard at the time that a baseball bat might have been used, but I don't know. That was just the rumor that was going around. And then the killer staged the crime scene to make it look like a tragic ski accident. But Fletcher insists the lack of damage to the back of the brain, known as contra coup injuries, is proof that he was beaten to death.
Well, of course, the thing is that the American people are never going to hear the truth, that they've never heard the truth of Martin Luther King's death. We actually carry a book entitled An Act of State. It's written by the lawyer who represented the King family at the trial of Lloyd Jowers. And most people say, who's Lloyd Jowers? What trial? Well, of course, the trial was held. The jury held the government was primarily responsible for the murder of Martin Luther King, and not a word in the controlled media. The book is, of course, entitled An Act of State. We'll be having a four-tape set available very, very soon. You can order it now. Who killed Martin Luther King? And believe me, it wasn't James Earl Ray. We'll be back in just a moment with our special guest, Ted Gunderson, on the death of Sonny Bono. Well, Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course, what's really so disconcerting, Ted, is so often they will just conceal the facts from the American people, and of course, they'll just dismiss anybody who suggests that they would actually go out and actually kill people in the United States. You know, well, that's really absurd, and yet, of course, there's little question that Bobby Kennedy was assassinated. After all, the Saran was standing in front of him with a gun with 8 shots in it. Of course, 14 shots were fired, and of course, Bobby Kennedy was hit from bullets from behind, and those are the ones that killed him. So, and the same thing is true with Jack Kennedy. They falsified that what happened, and almost 120 people who had been affiliated with or knew something about the assassination all met very untimely ends. And we see this pattern over and over again. How are we going to get the American people to think, Ted, you've been at this game a long time, how are we going to understand that they're being lied to and that there really are people who do kill people here in the United States and then conceal the truth?
Well, Dr. Stan, I've done everything I can to educate America as best I can. I give away free DVDs. It's 1-FREE-DVD.com. And I give them away for shipping and handling. So if you folks will go to that website, with number 1-FREE-DVD.com, you can see some of the DVDs that I give away. I've done everything I can to educate as many people as possible. Going back to Bobby Kennedy's death, it was kind of interesting because there were 11 bullet holes in the door and the wall, and as you said, Saran Saran's gun would only hold 8 bullets. Chief Gates, at the time the chief of police of the Los Angeles Police Department, has a book out. And, of course, I have all my research in storage, so I can't get my hands on my books too easily. But he tried to explain it, in an unbelievable manner or way. So, and I might also mention, Dr. Stan, that one of my sources back in the 80s told me that the CIA had infiltrated law enforcement. And, in fact, he told me that there were 11 CIA agents who were actually in the Los Angeles Police Department at the high-level positions. So this is one of the goals of the Illuminati, is to infiltrate the military and also law enforcement. And I have concrete proof that this is, in fact, happening. As a matter of fact, I have a brand-new lecture out, and it's captioned Infiltration of U.S. intelligence agencies and law enforcement by the Illuminati. You should be carrying some of my videos, Dr. Stan.
Well, I would very seriously consider it, Ted. If you could send them to me, we could take a look at them, and I suspect that we would be more than happy, because I know you have a tremendous amount of great information, and we all in the same business, and that is selling ideas, trying to get people to think. The reason we have to charge for what we do is we've got to pay, you know, well, $90,000, $100,000 a year for broadcast time, and so we simply have to have the support of people out there. But I know that you give these things away because you want to get the information out. Why don't you send your things to me, and we'll take a look at them, and perhaps we can offer them as well.
Well, I will do that. I've got some very key lectures that I'll be glad to send to you.
All right, fine.
And but anyway, I was giving away. I had over 400 DVDs I was giving away. It was just such a mammoth job, such a big job. I had to cut back considerably, so I can't offer 400. I'm over offering like 40 or 50 of them at the present time. Anyway, going back to Bono.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Ted Gunderson. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Ted Gunderson, who is, of course, in charge of the FBI office in Los Angeles when he retired in the late 1970s. How many people did you have working for you there, Ted?
I had over 700 personnel under my command. I had 16 offices. I had a $22.5 million budget.
Yeah, well, I said that was a lot of responsibility. They wouldn't have given it to you if they hadn't trusted you. But, of course, since then, you've been critical of the FBI, mainly not because it isn't a great organization, but because there's some wicked people in positions of power who are misusing their power to conceal crimes that affect every one of us. And certainly, in part, we're talking about many of the satanic crimes that take place in America. And whenever anybody tries to look into the satanic aspect of it, why, they, at least in years past, they would send out a gentleman from the FBI, and his job was to convince the local police, oh, no, there is no such thing as Satanism. That's all imaginary, or just a few little groups out there, but there's no coordination. And that really isn't true, according to your research, is it, Ted?
Absolutely not. Based on my, since I retired, by the way, before I retired, I had no idea of the satanic problem in this country. But based on everything that I've been able to develop the last 29 years, it's a very, very active group. It's a secret. There's at least, and I'm being very, very conservative, at least 4 million actively practicing Satanists in America today. They're involved in not only drugs, that ties into the CIA also, by the way. And it's being covered up. It's being covered up by law enforcement. And look at this Bono murder. It was the sheriff is uncooperative, and so there's people high up that do not want this information to get out to the public. And I've done everything I can to get it out. I started with the McDonald case, and then now most recently we have this Bono case, Sonny Bono case. But you know, by the way, people say that. Anybody who hits an object face first normally would have brain injuries caused with the organ rebounds off the back of the skull and other physical evidence, and that doesn't add up in the Bono case. And strangely, for what was called a ski accident, Bono had no smashed ribs, broken knees, neck trauma, or hand injuries that would have come from trying to ward off a collision with the tree. I think he would have put his arms up and... But Bob Fletcher says that the signs he actually hit the tree, including bark impressions on his face and plant debris on his clothes, are also missing. And his ski goggles weren't smashed, as they likely would have been in a collision. And Fletcher also notes that the back of, this is very interesting, the back of Bono's clothes were soaked with blood, but he had no back injuries and no back wounds. The blood must have come from someone else, perhaps when Sonny valiantly fought back, and I'm guessing he could have very well just hit the person behind him, holding somebody behind him. I think there's probably more than one person, obviously. Maybe with his elbow when he swung around and hit him in the nose, and he would have bled. Now, the reason that's important is because somebody should have checked that blood, the DNA on that blood. It was the jacket was totally soaked in it. So, and the autopsy mentioned a small L-shaped tear on the back of his black and blue ski jacket. And Bob Fletcher says the tear is most likely from a struggle. And I believe the new evidence gathered by Fletcher raises a specter of murder and warrants a new investigation. This is a cover-up that has lasted for 10 years, and it's time for the truth to come out.
Well, you know, I can remember at the time when Sonny Bono actually died, and I remember seeing a cartoon, and it showed a tree. only there were a couple of eyes on the front of the tree and the legs, and it was obviously a man posing as a tree. And, of course, the caption underneath was, well, that's the second time we've used this. We probably better not use this technique again, for at least for some time. And, of course, there was somebody else, a very prominent person, who died in a skiing accident running into a tree just a few weeks before that. I don't remember who it was, but I do remember that cartoon. And there were a lot of people at that time, back in, when Sonny died, who were suspicious that this was a murder. But, of course, the media immediately would cover it up, just as they covered up the murder of Martin Luther King by the government. And, of course, if you doubt that, you need to get the book, An Affair of State. An Affair of State. We're carrying the book now. It's written by William Pepper, who is actually the lawyer who represented the King family at the trial. The trial that was never reported by the American media, about a man who was so prominent we actually named a national holiday after him, Martin Luther King Day. You mean they would kill a man and then they'd have a national holiday? Well, why don't you get the book? And I hope you'll want to get the 4-tape set when it's available, by people who, of course, looked into this at great length, and there's no question at all they wanted to get rid of Martin Luther King. He was a much better martyr than he was, of course, somebody who was opposing the policies of the government. Why, he was a real radical. He was a real communist. He wanted our boys out of Vietnam. He didn't want more of them to die, as they did, year after year after year, in a war the American military was never allowed to win. All right, well, Ted, we're back here with Radio Liberty, and of course we're covering the death of Sonny Bono. Is there anything else really there that needs to be brought out, or should we get into some of the other issues?
I think that we pretty well covered it, you know, but you have to consider that it's time that somebody honor the memory. He was obviously a good congressman, and this case definitely, as I said a few moments ago, needs to be reopened and properly investigated. And Bob Fletcher deserves a lot of credit, and I hope people go through you and this radio show to get that Drugs in the CIA. I think that you don't have it, I'd certainly get a hold of Bob and get a copy of it, Doctor.
All right. Well, it's either the CIA and drugs or drugs in the CIA. I'm not sure which, but if we don't
either
care,
way, either way.
We will actually get it because, of course, we carry so many of the other DVDs that Bob Fletcher's put out. And they are all well done, all very professionally done, and they all, of course, I believe, are telling the truth.
And I might mention that I talked to Bob in the last day or so, and he's doing another DVD just on his new results on this case.
Right. Well, we're looking forward to getting that. He's promised to send me a copy as soon as he gets it done. We're one of the few ministries that will actually carry his material, not because it isn't good, but because it is good and because if it's accurate. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have a real problem in America today because the truth isn't getting out. Here's an article in Globe magazine, and I never would have heard of it had it not been that Ted had called me and told me about it. And, of course, Bob Fletcher was not allowed to talk about it. He had some sort of a contract with Ted, with Globe magazine, so it'll be a few weeks before, or maybe a few months before, he'll be able to actually come out and talk about it. But Ted, have you actually read the article? I looked for it about 10 days ago. I couldn't find it.
Well, it's on the Internet under, if you look up Sonny Bono-murder or Sonny Bono-homicide, and it's on the Globe. It's in among the Globe material. Yeah, I've read the article.
All right, fine. Well, I'll have to track it down. If I can't, I'll get in touch with you and get you to help me do it.
But well, let me just mention this, Dr. Stan. Bob did the work. I was a Johnny-come-lately. I was asked to come along and analyze it as an expert witness, which I've done on a number of occasions. I've analyzed the numerous homicide cases. And what I do, of course, is I have to get a hold of the report. Bob has already done this, but in the cases that I handle, I get a hold of the autopsy report, I read the police report, and then I critique it, and I have a case going right now in Houston, Texas, where the young man was murdered, and the authorities said it was suicide. I had a case, the Jeff Digman case here about 10 or 12 years ago.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Ted Gunderson. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Ted Gunderson. Of course, he was the director of the FBI office in Los Angeles at the time he retired in the late 1970s. He had 700 people working for him. Went out, of course, opened his own office for private investigation, and I guess for 29 years now. He's been uncovering all sorts of amazing things. And, of course, so many of them tie into drugs, government, high government officials, and certainly satanic cults, and of course, pedophile rings, of course, which has satanic undertones to them. These are not imaginary. They're very real. People say, I don't like to hear about that. I like to hear about good things, and I don't blame you. We all like to hear about good things, but we have to recognize what's really going on if we help to in any way influence what's taking place, because we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. Well, before we go on, Ted, why don't you get your website out there, and if people would like to get you some of your material, how would they reach you and get it?
It's my website is tedgunderson.com, tedgunderson.com. And rather than write books, I haven't had time to write any controversial books. I had one book out back in the 80s. It was How to Locate Anyone Anywhere Without Leaving Home. That sold for 12 years until the Internet came along, and it was written up in a book report on the East Coast out of New York as the best book of its kind that's ever been written, but it's no longer available, no longer in print. But as far as the controversial material is concerned, drug activity and so forth, I write reports. And I have a conclusive report on the Jeffrey McDonald case that establishes that he was not involved in the murders. I have reports called The Finders, which documents that the CIA is involved in kidnapping children. I have other reports. I have video interviews with ex-CIA drug pilots, Bo Abbott. I also have an interview with the ex-Black Ops operator, 25 years, for the government, Chip Tatum. That is a dynamite interview I did with him. By the way, Bo Abbott's disappeared. Chip Tatum, the last I heard, he had gone to Central or South America, and they found his body washed up on shore in Colombia.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that, because we had a couple of excellent interviews with Chip Tatum, and he was the fellow who was actually commissioned by George Herbert Walker Bush to kill Ross Perot. You remember when Ross Perot was running for president back in 92, and of course he was, I guess it was, maybe it was 94. Well, anyway, 92, no, this would have been 88, I think, when he was running for president. Ross Perot was, and then all of a sudden he said he was dropping out because there were death threats against him and his family. Well, of course, Chip Tatum was the man, the contract agent was supposed to take him out, and he refused to do it. Sounds like he paid with his life for what he knew and for what he did, because he went on radio with me on a number of occasions, great interviews with Chip Tatum. We talked about how he was a hit agent. He was hired by the CIA, or actually in this instance by the ex-head of the CIA, a man named George Herbert Walker Bush, to kill Ross Perot, and he didn't do it. And, of course, it's unforgivable sin. I'm sorry to hear about Chip.
He told me, Dr. Stan, that that's when he decided he was going to get out of the business, and when they asked him to kill a fellow American, because Chip had been involved for 25 years in helping to overthrow other governments around the world, and he told me about one instance where the president of a particular country would not acquiesce to the CIA and their ways, and he put numerous bodyguards around him so they couldn't get to him. So they went after his brother and hit his brother with a rocket from a high-level building, and killed his brother, and they said, now are you going to acquiesce to our operation? And, of course, they did. Chip told me that he was involved in overthrowing governments and putting puppet CIA officials in place of the other individuals who were there, legitimate politicians, good people. And, of course, one thing that I've learned, Dr. Stan, in the last 28 years, and it took me, you know, you start out with one case. I start out with the McDonald case, and then I had another case. I had the Jeff Digman case. He was working in charge of a drug task force out of the Marine base in San Diego, outside San Diego. And he was en route to San Juan, Puerto Rico that particular night. He was killed. And he had inside information about high-level drug operations in the military, and he never made it to the airport. And I was asked to investigate the case by the family. And so the first thing I did is I went to the bedroom where he died, and there was a hole in the ceiling where the bullet went through his head and into the ceiling. And the trajectory of the bullet was entirely different than it should have been had he actually killed himself. And as a matter of fact, he would have to have been 10 inches taller. He was killed laying across the bed. He would have to have been 10 inches taller for that bullet to have gone through his head, because I ran a line from the ceiling where the bullet hole was across the room so I could pick up the trajectory of it. And that was just typical operation. That case, by the way, the military said he committed suicide. When I went down to reconstruct that case and went into the house with the permission of his parents, Bill Digman and Lois Digman, the Naval Intelligence was there. They were waiting for me. And when I strung the line and showed them that he could not possibly have been shot with that bullet, the Naval Intelligence officer wanted to argue with me about it. And, of course, he was wrong, and I have documentation on that. There was another interesting factor with that case. The hinges on a cabinet, he struggled. He was a pretty well-built guy, and he struggled. I think there were more than one person there that killed him. And the hinges on the drawer of a cabinet were off, and somebody had taken it and placed it back on in position and it was broken. But if you looked around, you could find that was actually what happened. But the final result, the Digmans were so intense, they went to Washington. They spent a lot of money to prove that he was murdered and not suicide. And the final result was they changed the Naval Intelligence people and changed the report to say that he died from unconclusive evidence as to what actually happened. And so that's another example of a cover-up. Again, Dr. Stan, drugs, and more drugs. And that's the case with the Sonny Bono, the case with the Jeffrey McDonald case, it's a case with this... the operation out of the Cabazon Indian Reservation back in the 1980s, which I mentioned a few moments ago. There was a fellow named Fred Alvarez and another fellow named Bagley and his girlfriend who were shot execution style, because Alvarez was against a particular individual and a group of Anglos coming into the Indian Reservation to set up a gambling operation. And, of course, they also, not only did they have drugs coming in and out, they were involved in training rebels from South and Central America on that reservation, and it was all a covert operation. But Fred Alvarez was against it. He was on the tribal council of the Cabazon Indian tribe, and he and his and Bagley, his associate, and the lady were all shot in the back of the head, execution style. And there's a young lady that... the daughter of Bagley, who was 13 at the time, she now lives in Indiana. I'm in touch with her, by the way. And she has been making an issue out of this case and trying to get it reopened. A district attorney in Riverside County here about a year or so ago, started to investigate it, and all of a sudden, his family, his wife and two or three children are murdered, and he is suicided. No question about it. It was a hit.
It's also like the case of Gary Webb, who we've interviewed a number of times. In fact, we even carry a book called Into the Buzzsaw, where Gary Webb writes one of the essays. But, of course, he had written extensively about the CIA and drugs, and he committed suicide by shooting himself in the head twice in order to make sure he was dead. And, of course, the thing is, the average American doesn't believe this sort of thing could really go on. We have actually a wonderful book written by a man named John Perkins, who is actually working for the people internationally who are killing people. And he talks about it in his book, Confessions of an Economic Hitman. I think we still have copies. Confessions of an Economic Hitman. We actually have my interviews with him, a four-tape set. Confessions of an Economic Hitman. And, of course, they even have a special division up on the State Department website on disinformation, telling you all the reasons why when John Perkins tells about how we kill people throughout the world who won't go along with our policies, how it just isn't true. why would they have a special division, a special section on the State Department? You can look it up, State Department disinformation, and you go to State Department information, Google that in, and then you come to the area where they talk certainly about John Perkins and how irresponsible he is to say that he worked for this government agency and their job was to, or these corporations were working with the government that were killing people. Do you have any information on ritual abuse cases in the Grand Forks area?
You talk about Grand Forks, North Dakota?
Yeah, Grand Forks, North Dakota.
Dr. Stan, I have information about ritual abuse in almost every major community in America. I'm like a sponge. People send me material. People call me, send me emails. Last time I checked, I had 920 emails. I cannot possibly read them all because I'm basically a lone ranger.
I know what it's like. I sometimes get 300 and I feel very bad.
Well, I wish I had somebody that could read them for me and filter through them, but I just can't do it. I can't do everything that I'm trying to do.
I know you can't. Well, my son actually goes through them. Then he sends me 300, but he's gone through 1,000, so go right ahead.
Well, that's good. Tell your son I'd like to hire him.
No, I'm afraid he's not up for hire.
But I've worked these various cases like this across the country. And, it started out with the McDonald case. And when I went public with the confession from Alina Stokely, as I said, she died mysteriously. They said that she died of slight pneumonia. They said she died of slight pneumonia and liver problem. But she was on her couch, nude from the waist down. Her six-month-old son was still alive, and he survived, I guess. And there was the kitchen faucet was running. Now, in the satanic movement, there are four signs. There's wind, or there's the air or the wind, actually the air, the dirt, fire, and I forget the other one. Water is the other one. And these are signs that they use whenever they do commit a homicide. They will always leave some sort of a sign behind them. The average law enforcement officer, when they do the crime scene search, do not realize this.
Well, it's tragic, but you actually have, of course, your confession on video, don't you?
Oh, yes, I've got it on video. And, in fact, it was aired on, I think, 48 Hours, and Discovery Channel may have had it on there, too. Anyway, when I went public with that, that's when people just came from all directions, and that's how I became involved in these issues. And I had my own radio talk show for 2 years, but like you, Dr. Stan, I had to give it up because the finances, I just couldn't keep up the bills and what have you. So I hope everybody will cooperate with you and buy your products so you can stay on the air, because we need people like you to get the message out.
Well, I feel that we're very, very fortunate to really have the network that we do and the number of stations that are pulling down our program. And it just takes an awful long time before you can build up a base of people listening. Now, do you have Chip Tatum on video? Do you actually have video where he tells you these stories?
Yes. I've got Chip Tatum. And when I had my own radio talk show, I had Chip on there for 2 hours, and I realized, this is back in 97, 98, I had for 2 years, and I realized that Chip had a lot more information than he could furnish in 2 hours, so I ended up having 26 hours of him on audio. And you know, Dr. Stan, those tapes have all been stolen from me, so I don't have them anymore. But Chip gave me information. He told me that he would be in and out of the military, depending on the assignment. And he could be in the military one moment, and then he'd be told to go back into the civilian life. And they switched him back and forth. He told me also, and this is one of my radio shows, that if he had an assignment, he could go into a banker in Rochester, New York, and on his signature take out $250,000 cash. Now, in assassins, professional assassin, they usually operate in teams, in five-man teams. And I had some security problems myself. As a result, actually, I had an investigation of a fellow named Robert Ferrani. He came out of his office one night at midnight, and he was shot 5 times and lived, and I was asked to investigate it. And it's kind of an interesting case. I found out that at 6:30. That was at midnight when that happened. 6:30 that evening, his accountant came out of his office. He was involved in real estate. He was involved in a lawsuit, a multi-million-dollar lawsuit with some individuals. His accountant came out and walked across the parking lot, and there was a fellow sitting in a car with the trunk to the building. And at the time of the shooting at midnight, a car of that same description came out with the motor idling and sat there. And then the gunman, who popped out of the bush with the ski mask on, ran and jumped in another automobile. They always have two cars for a getaway, by the way. But as a result of the work that I did on that case, Robert Frondi, he lived, by the way, and I came up with an artist's conception of the individual driving the car, and I gave that to Mr. Frondi, and he unfortunately gave it to the people with whom he was involved with in the lawsuit, and I had some pretty serious security problems of my own after that, but I was able to weather the storm through divine intervention. And anyway, I've picked up a lot of information as to how they operate. And what they do, what our government's doing, is we have two elements in the government. We have the overt and the covert. Now, the overt are the fellows like me who go to the scene of a bank robbery, and I interview witnesses and ask them how tall was the suspect, what did he weigh, what kind of a car was used in the getaway, and what color and all that sort of thing, were there other people involved. That's the overt operation. The covert operation involves people like McVeigh, who was recruited out of Special Forces, and the CIA is recruiting people directly out of Special Forces. And McVeigh wrote a letter to his sister, and this was published in the Dallas Morning News, that he had been recruited by the CIA to work on the CIA assassination teams, and also to work for the CIA drug operations.
Right. In fact, there's a book entitled A Secret Worth Dying For, written by a man who spent a lot of time at McVeigh in prison, who told exactly the same story. McVeigh was working for a special forces unit. The fellow Terry Nichols has said exactly the same thing. Isn't it amazing the American people have never heard about the letter that Timothy McVeigh wrote to his sister Jennifer? It's covered in the book we carry, O.K. Bomb. It talks about that letter. And yet totally suppressed by the American media, because after all, that would mean that this was a CIA or Special Forces or government effort, and they killed 168, maybe 169 Americans. And of course, that was a prelude to what happened on September 11th. They got away with it there. They got away with Ruby Ridge. They got away with certainly what happened to the Davidians, and they're certainly getting away with what happened on 9/11. Our guest, Ted Gunderson, will be right back. Well, Ted, we've got 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program. It's been fascinating, but you do have Chip Tatum on video. I would love to see that.
Oh, yeah, I've got that. I'll get that to you, Dr. Stan. I'll go through my interviews and get them to you. You're more than free to welcome to sell them.
Okay, well, fine.
What I'm doing now, I was giving away 400 DVDs, and what I've decided to do, it was just eating up my associates' time, and I wasn't making any money. So what I'm doing now, I'm selling one and giving one. I'm selling two and giving one away. So I'm still selling them. And I'll go through my list of my interviews and get them to you. You're welcome to reproduce them on your own. That'll be my contribution to financing your show.
Well, I would really appreciate that, because we need all the help we can get. But I really would like people to have access to these videos that you put together, interviews with Chick Tatum and with the woman who was there, part of the satanic cult that killed Jeffrey McDonald, Captain Jeffrey McDonald's family. And, of course, this has been covered up by the government ever since then. They cannot, at least certain people within the government, they cannot let the public know about the satanic cults.
Well, you know, it's also interesting, Dr. Stan, on the Bono case, that was not picked up and run in the mainstream media in the United States. But it was run mainstream media, believe it or not, in Australia. And there was a radio show in Washington, D.C. One of my friends called from D.C. en route to work here right after the story broke. And it was announced on the radio, but the mainstream media has not picked up. The Washington Post, the New York Times, the L.A. Times.
You're talking about the Globe article that just recently came out.
Right. That should be available on the Internet.
All right, fine. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, the information's out there. You can get it if you want to. We are so fortunate to have the Internet now, And, of course, there's disinformation that's being planted there, but there's truthful information as well. You've just got to learn to be discerning. Well, you got about a minute to wrap up the program.
Well, just let me say this, Dr. Stan. I'm in the business to try to educate as many people as possible. I contribute, my contribution is my retirement money. I use their money to expose them, I'm talking about. But you have to understand also there's good people and bad people in the government, a lot of good people in the FBI and the CIA, and this is just a certain element. As a matter of fact, I learned after I got out of the FBI that I had a covert operation right there in my office in Los Angeles. And I didn't know it, of course. And they were bringing MKUltra victims in to the 14th floor. I was on the 17th floor. And actually operating right in my, we had four floors, right in my office space. So,
well, it's an amazing, amazing story, Ted. I always learn from listening to you. Thanks very much for being with us, and we'll look forward to having you on again in the not-too-distant future. Please
thanks,
keep
Doctor.
In touch.
TedGunderson.com, folks.
Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest has been Ted Gunderson. I hope you enjoyed. We have another two-hour interview we did with him where he goes into, of course, the Jeffrey McDonald case in great detail and some of these other cases, the McMartin School, a case he was involved in that. And, of course, everything was done specifically by the Wall Street Journal to tell you there was no satanic element in it. And, of course, there was. There were underground tunnels there. And, of course, the children, of course, were telling the truth when they told about the satanic ceremonies. But, of course, everything was done to confuse people about the McMartin case, specifically by the Wall Street Journal and much of the other media, trying to make it think it just never happened. Well, certainly we have a couple of books which we think are excellent. One, of course, is Defrauding America by Rodney Stitch, and it's really, of course, has to do with many government agents he met in prison when he was sent to prison unjustifiably. They were people from the CIA, from the DEA, from the FBI, and, of course, what was their crime? They were trying to get the truth out about the government involvement in drug smuggling. Then there's another book Rodney has called Drugging America. So Defrauding America, Drugging America, that our four tapes set on. Is there really a war on drugs? And lastly, of course, the book, which I mentioned earlier, Into the Buzzsaw, where Gary Webb, you'll actually have an opportunity to read what Gary Webb wrote shortly before he committed suicide by shooting himself in the head twice to make sure he was dead. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. The book, Confessions of an Economic Hitman, and the four tape set, Confessions of an Economic Hitman, my interviews with John Perkins, who actually worked for major corporations under the auspices of the NSA, the National Security Administration, and, of course, they went all over the world and actually forcing countries to accept major loans. Those loans were used to bribe the politicians. And the politicians who didn't go along with the system, well, they were simply assassinated. Or they'd create a war, that they would do something to get rid of the people who would not go along with them. Confessions of an Economic Hitman, an insider telling of the story of how the world really works. Does that mean our country is not good? No, we have a wonderful country. We have a wonderful heritage. But it's been stolen. It's been stolen by a group of people of great wealth and great power. They're not very many, but they have their people at the highest levels of our government. You need to get our four tapes out on the secret government, an interview with Professor Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor, an interview with Norman Dodd. And, of course, we have two four tape sets, one secret societies, the other the secret government. They will give you tremendous insight into what's going on today, information you need to begin to evaluate what's going on. If you don't believe there are secret societies, of course, you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Hear my talk on the forbidden secret and the syllabus that goes with that. My talk on the planned police state. They're already building the concentration camps. You'll hear, actually, on that that DVD, Congressman Jack Brooks at the Iran-Contra hearing, trying to get the fact out that there is a plan in the case of a national emergency to suspend the Constitution and habeas corpus and round up Americans and put them in concentration camps and send it in a way, certainly interrupting repeatedly. The last thing they want is for American people to learn the truth. That is, of course, my talk on the planned police state. My talk on the forbidden secret comes with the syllabus as well. You need to get this information, and you need to help us get it out across America. So we ask you, of course, to go to our website at radioliberty.com, where you can watch our DVDs, listen to our programs, read our newsletters. Of course, our number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to get a free catalog of emergency food, and you better have a supply of that, or in health products to keep yourself healthy, because you're going to need your health in the very difficult times that lie ahead. And behind all this powerful spiritual forces, please pray for America, pray for revival, but please pray for Radio Liberty.